Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And Jim, both our good and our crazy come from the Democratic town hall in Iowa last night. I must confess up front, I didn't watch it. Hillary definitely had her moments last night, and not necessarily in the best way. The good martini is Hillary's interaction with this Bernie Sanders supporter. Right at the top, announced he was for Bernie Sanders and wondered why Hillary didn't have more passion, more enthusiasm for her campaign.
It feels like there's a lot of young people like myself who are very passionate supporters of Bernie Sanders, and I just don't see the same enthusiasm from younger people for you. In fact, I've heard from quite a few people my age that they think you're dishonest, but I'd like to hear from you on why you feel the enthusiasm isn't there.
So after saying that she has some young supporters and that everybody needs to band together to support the nominee, which she assumes she will be, she explains why people think she's dishonest.
I've been around a long time. People have thrown all kinds of things at me. And, you know, I can't keep up with it. I just keep going forward. They fall by the wayside. They come up with these outlandish things. They make these charges. I just keep going forward because there's nothing to it. They throw all this stuff at me, and I'm still standing.
Here's what she explains as to why people keep trying to derail her.
But if you're new to politics, if it's the first time you've really paid attention, you go, oh, my gosh, look at all of this. And you have to say to yourself, why are they throwing all of that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I've been on the front lines of change and progress since I was your age.
What a selfless martyr, Jim. She's just in it for the good of humanity.
I suppose this might be the only card she has to play. The alternative is to say, well, the reason people think I'm dishonest is because I have a long history of being dishonest. You know, like, I suppose we would give her, pause for irony, points for honesty on that one. But there, you know, that's a tough question for her. This is kind of one of the crux of what's holding back her campaign. There is no reason to believe in her because of her, you know, like, allegedly the experience, this long history in Washington, the political fight that's supposed to be her benefit, supposed to be her selling point, is in fact why people don't want to, because they have been paying attention, Hillary. And to their credit, as much as we might disagree with them, young Democrats are looking at this and saying, wait, is this really the best we can do? I don't know if the crazy grandpa socialist is an improvement, but nonetheless, they've decided to turn their nose up at this. And so she basically has to say, well, the reason people say I lie is because all of them are liars. And I have only been fighting for right in my entire career, and I stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And there's so many evildoers out there in Washington and the rest of the world who are always trying to stop me, and they'll lie about it, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't think it's necessarily you know, here's the thing. That's an answer isn't going to persuade the young man in front of her or the young people in the audience, I don't think. But it's the answer that the Hillary fans have to hear, because otherwise they will drift away. They need to be told that, no, this is all a bunch of lies. Stay true to the cult of personality. She is the one true Messiah who will lead us out of the darkness, and your faith will be rewarded, if not now, then in the, you know, Nirvana-like Hillary presidency to come.
Yes. I also enjoy how she tries to explain it as if the questioner were five instead of in his early 20s. It's always a fun way to convey respect.
I saw that answer, Greg, and there's one thing I'll give her credit for. So she starts talking about the fight over Hillary care in 1994, and she looks at me and says, I'm looking at you, I really don't know if you were born at that time.
Yes, I saw that.
So on the one hand, it makes us feel really old.
Right.
Like, that is that 21 years ago now?
Yeah. Oh, more than that.
Yeah. We're going on 22 years. Like, you know, that, on the one hand, it's conceivable the questioner wasn't. On the other hand, if you're like us and you're old enough to remember these things, that's one of the many, many reasons you shudder at the thought of Hillary Clinton being president.
Yes. All right. On to the bad martini now. And this certainly has a twinge of crazy to it. But, you know, now that the sanctions have been lifted on the Iranians, we're going to have this whole kumbaya with the West and Iran, and everybody's going to get rich, really, is the whole point of this. But we're supposedly going to get along really well also and have some cross-cultural experiences. Yeah, not yet. This is the report of the Iranian president Hassan Rouhani going to Rome. As the visit to Europe of the Iranian president got underway Monday, Italy showed its respect for Islamic traditions by covering up the Capitoline Museum's racier exhibits. Hassan Rouhani visited the museums with Premier Matteo Renzi, having signed contracts worth up to 17 billion euros on Monday. And Renzi was clearly keen to avoid offending his new business partner. The nude statues and sculptures in the museum were completely covered by large white boxes. The decision to cover up nudity was seen as a mark of respect for the traditions of the Muslim country, which has only just had its trade sanctions lifted. ANSA also reported, that's the news outlet here, that as a further mark of respect, no wine was served at the official dinner during Rouhani's visit. So in order to accommodate the Iranians in Rome, the Italians pretty much have to stop doing everything they normally do.
See, here's the thing, and this is why you really want to see the West stand up for itself. If Rouhani is in attendance, first of all, we can argue the question of the wisdom of rolling out the red carpet for Rouhani, considering all the brutality of his regime and everything they've done. But they've made this decision. They're going to try to engage. So here we go. If I'm out with people on a Friday night during Lent, I won't say you can't eat meat in front of me because I'm having Meatless Friday. Now, this does make it challenging, Greg, when we have a Friday night in Lent and my crowd says, hey, let's go to a chili place for happy hour. I ate vegetarian chili that night. I hope God appreciates that. But the point being that it's not just that like Muslims say, no, this is my rule for me. You know, I must eat halal. I must not consume alcohol. It's that, no, I must not gaze upon a statue of a naked woman or something like that. It's that everyone else has to, too. It is kind of this like cultural imperialism. It's not just that I'm not allowed to blaspheme the prophet. You're not allowed to either. And I would really love to see somebody in the West stand up for themselves. And here we go. And the question is, it starts with this gesture of respect for this guy. The question is, where do you draw this line? At some point, if your population has a large enough group of Muslims who claim to be offended by a depiction of nudity, do you get rid of the naked statue in Piccadilly Circus, the statue of Mercury? At some point, you're going to start seeing pushback against this, and you will see the great art of European history start disappearing because it offends Muslims. I guess I have to give a little bit of credit to the French here. As you know, this article notes that when Rouhani was supposed to come to the Champs-Élysées in Paris, he wanted an alcohol-free menu, and the French said no. And I kind of have to, you know, good for you, France. You stand up for yourself. If he doesn't want to consume wine, that's fine. If he doesn't want to consume pork, that's fine too. I can see the argument that it might be insensitive to serve pork when you're having a guest who's Muslim, or the same for a devout or your traditional Jewish guest. Having said that, you don't invite people into your country and let them push you around. And that's what this certainly feels like. And the idea of, you know, covering up statues so to not offend a guest, given his leader, there has to be some flexibility and compromise on the part. And I'm sadly to say, Iranians are not known for their compromising or flexible approaches.
Yeah, on anything, really. So fascinating response. And as you mentioned, good on the French fighting back a little bit. They've been pretty good since Paris. They've had a few wobbles, but better than others. On to the crazy martini now, and back to the Iowa town hall with the Democrats, and back to Hillary Clinton. In addition to taking questions from the audience, she also took some questions from Chris Cuomo of CNN, who officially hosted the event. And he mentioned the fact that Hillary Clinton received the endorsement for the Democratic nomination from the Des Moines Register, which is obviously highly sought after in preparation of the Iowa caucuses. But he mentioned that in the editorial, they also pointed out that Hillary Clinton has still not learned the lesson that they tried to pass along to her back in 2008. And that's that instead of getting out in front of a story and apologizing and saying she made a mistake, Hillary Clinton waits until she has to say she's sorry about something. In this case, it's how she handled her communications with the email and the private server. And Chris Cuomo asked Hillary Clinton whether that was fair criticism.
Yes, I think that's a fair criticism. You know, I had no intention of doing anything other than having a convenient way of communicating. And it turned out not to be so convenient. So, again, we've answered every question, and we will continue to do so. But, you know, maybe being faster, trying to scramble around to find out what all of this means, I probably should have done that quicker.
You're willing to say it was an error in judgment. You should have apologized.
No, I'm not willing to say it was an error in judgment because nothing that I did was wrong. It was not in any way prohibited.
That's totally fair criticism, Jim, although I did nothing wrong.
I was going to say, you see where she wants to be gracious, she wants to be human, she wants to show humility, But ultimately, she can't. And what it is that because the wrongdoing is so super clear, and stay tuned because I'm going to have a piece on National Review on this soon, having talked to some legal experts. Legal experts will look at this and say, this is a slam dunk. This is not in dispute anymore. The evidence of the crime is now clear. The intelligence community inspector general is coming out and finding even more highly classified information. The law has been violated. The only question is, what does the law enforcement and prosecutorial community do in response to this? Well, what does the FBI recommend? And it sounds like there's really no way they can say, no big deal. And what does the Department of Justice recommend? And you're starting to hear interesting rumblings about mass resignations and things like that if they decide to try to sweep this under the rug. As I mentioned in that first answer there, Greg, look, ultimately, Hillary needs her crowd to believe that this is all a Republican witch hunt. The intelligence community's inspector general is part of the vast right-wing conspiracy. It's all bad Republicans who are saying this, and that she has done nothing wrong. And it really has become this... we've seen this cycle after cycle, Greg. Remember, like, you know, the rise of the fact checkers?
Yes.
Factcheck.org and you know, PolitiFact and all these different groups. And we've had our beefs with them. That generally they always seem to find ways that, you know, deviating from liberal conventional wisdom will get you one black mark, one chibetto, one little thing, whereas the other things are much more, you know, pans on fire. Or anything, you know, when Republicans say that our Navy is smaller than it was 10, 20 years ago, even though it's factually true. Something I noticed, though, is like you know, a politician would say something. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And it would get called out as a lie. And they would keep saying it. It didn't have any impact. It didn't have, you know, being called out as fact. And even in an interview, they would dispute the fact checkers. And what it is, you know, some people might say, oh, this is faith-based, right? Hillary needs everyone to believe there's nothing to this. So she's going to keep insisting there's nothing to this right up until the day she gets put into prison. And, you know, as much as satisfying as it would be to watch her frog marching in handcuffs and things like that, it's unlikely to happen. But she is going to be insisting that she did nothing wrong until her dying day, because she has to. Because to admit that she did what she actually did is to admit she's completely unqualified for the presidency.
Fascinating to watch. Unfortunately, we've had to watch it for the past 20 plus years. Jim, two important anniversaries to point out today, both milestone anniversaries, which is why we point them out. One, of course, is 30 years since the Bears beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 20,
wow,
which is the last time that the Bears won the Super Bowl. It's been 30 years ago. Also, 18 years ago today, Bill Clinton publicly denied having relations with Monica Lewinsky, which means that his denial has now reached the age of consent.
Wow. That's depressing, Greg. You've made us all feel old. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today, and please tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.